One. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Bigamex Radio Podcast. I am your host, Brad Gebhardt, and this episode is brought to you by W Wheels, all things wheels. Like I said, I'm your host, Brad Gebhardt. I'm on all of these podcasts, but for the very first time in Bigamex Radio history, and he has to be a repeat offender because his mom says so, Zane Anderson, how's it going, buddy?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm not doing too bad whatsoever. I've had your old man on this podcast. I've had your mom on this podcast. I've had your grandfather on the podcast. It's about damn time Zane Anderson made his appearance on Bigamex Radio, this being year number 12. And what better way to kick off the week here by a quick chat with my friends over at WUSA?
Yeah, thanks for having me, dude. I really am stoked to do this. This is actually my first podcast ever, so hopefully I do all right. I know I got some stuff to live up to, but I'm gonna give it my best and see where it goes. But thanks again for having me on. I'm stoked to do this, dude.
Absolutely. Full report card will be in the mail shortly after the completion of this interview. But I'm excited about it, man. Like I anytime that I see a new young professional, especially with a long lineage like you do, entering the space, I got a lot of respect for that. Cause like, as we spoke off air, as someone who's been in the sport for a long period of time, you've literally spent your entire life surrounded by motorcycles, and probably at some point also realizing that your grandfather, your father, and your mom are all pivotal people within that industry. That generates a lot of excitement and a lot of pressure as well. Talk about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, obviously my grandpa Tom White was, a very respected individual within the motorcycle industry. I have the utmost respect for him. Obviously I love him dearly. I miss him every day. I think a lot of us do. So it's definitely something that, I hold close to my heart. It's kind of like, he passed away when I was only 13 years old. So I didn't really get like a lot of my big boy, if you will, like big questions I got to have him answer. But I would be lying to you to say that I don't, think about him every single time I step through the doors to come into W, and then, let alone for my parents. Obviously, I mean, I work with my parents every day. It's got its pros and cons, You leave the house. You may be, a little arguing at home a little bit, and then you get to work and it's like, oh wait, I was, we were just chopping it up at home. Like, what's going on? But no, they're obviously, as you know, they're great people. They've, created an amazing business within W. They've really built off my grandpa's legacy. So I'm just, looking to hopefully do the same and to make them proud and make my grandpa proud. So.
Oh, I can certainly guarantee that he is. And, I think I might have to, dust off the old audio from, the time that I had, Tom on the show. Great episode. I think some people need to listen to that instead of digging back in the archives, maybe bring it back to the very top. But, yeah, man, like you're preaching to the choir. Cause at one point I lived with my old man. He was my teacher at bricklaying school and my boss on the job site. And I don't think we got along in any of those environments. So, but we're the best of friends now. So, that's what family's all about. Tell me a little bit about your experiences with motocross in general. Not everyone who's a kid that sort of grows up in it just automatically gravitates to it. What was that that sort of relationship like for you? Because obviously you're not sitting across from me here as a supercross star. So
So obviously, I mean, like you said, I've literally been around dirt bikes, whether I liked it or not, since I was a brand new baby, obviously, into this world. I actually learned to ride a dirt bike the same day I learned to ride a bicycle, so that was kind of cool. So I did grow up riding, just putting around desert stuff, not really racing necessarily. I was more into like the mountain bikes, the Southern California lifestyle, whether that was surfing, skateboarding, stick and ball sports and stuff like that. That was really where like I gravitated to. But again, motorcycles were always there, right? I was always going to events, going to see my grandpa, going to the museum, going to, W in the summers to put stickers on catalogs, and then eventually, count hubs to see if we had enough and so on and so forth. So, it was kind of just something that was always there. I don't know if I would necessarily, when I was a kid, I was like a huge fan of it. It was just second nature to me, but it definitely, I would say probably around when I was like, maybe 10, 11 years old, I had a pit bike. I'd go rip around the neighborhood with, you know, with the boys, putting around on that thing. Still going out to the desert and stuff like that with my dad, you know, and just, you know, riding for fun. Like, that's what it's all about, right? Whether you want to look at it or not, whether you're a business within moto or not, at the end of the day, like, jump on your motorcycle and go putt around and just have fun. So I was doing that, and then I really started working at W a lot during high school, like during summers. That's when I would like lace, you know, lace a lot of wheels, and kind of just work out in the warehouse and so on. And then obviously after summer, I'd go back to school, and then that would kind of be just about my time at W until I went back the next summer or during Christmas break. But yeah, I kind of always had motorcycles in my life, obviously. I always joke around and say like motorcycles have blessed me in more ways than I think anything could. You know, they've given me the life that I live nowadays. You know, my parents met from motorcycles, obviously. So without motorcycles, I wouldn't be here. You know, but at the same time, they have, you know, taken a lot from my family. I don't know if you're familiar with my uncle Brad.
Of course, yeah.
He was in a traumatic, you know, motorcycle accident, became a quadriplegic, and stuff like that. So I always tell everybody when I explain my story, it's like motorcycles have blessed me in an tremendous amount of ways that I'm, you know, very grateful for. But with that being said, you know, they have taken stuff from, you know, my family.
There's always a give and take. Yep.
Yeah. But, you know, motorcycles have always been there. I'm, you know, big fan of the sport, big fan of the industry. You know, and the more and more I've gotten to work here, I, you know, now I'm obviously full time out of high school. I really just dove straight into it. I was doing the fire program. I was actually going to school to be a firefighter for a while. Then I went to my parents and I was like, hey, I just want to take one semester off. I just want to see what it's like working. I can't sit in the classroom anymore. Like, I can't do this. And, you know, my mom and dad were like, okay, but with that being said, you're going to be here 8 to 5, like every other employee, and you're going to be treated like every other employee, and you're going to start at the very, very bottom of the totem pole. And, you know, you're going to have to earn your time, you know, and even still, I haven't fully earned, you know, my time, you know, but, you know, I had to come in, and I wasn't going to get a Tuesday off to go surf, you know, or something like that.
You should come and go as you please, honestly.
But yeah, so then I started doing that, and then I really developed a passion for it. Like I, you know, shared a little bit earlier, like it's, you know, my grandpa wasn't around when I would like drive, you know, when I was learning to drive a car, or like when I was entering high school, or just going through like that, just like from like a young boy to like a young man type of era. So like, you know, it was always like a lot of unanswered questions that I wish he was around with. And the more and more I started working at W, I felt a lot closer to him. And so then that was fun. And then, like I said, I started developing a huge passion for it. I mean, now it's like everything I do, I eat, sleep, and breathe motorcycles. You know, I have my outside hobbies that I like to do. But you know, my life, you know, 100% revolves around motorcycles. You know what I mean? So then started working like, you know, full time, like I said, really started falling in love with just the business, the industry, the sport. And then most importantly, like I said, it was a way that I felt the closest to my grandpa. You know, it was a way that I felt like I was like, you know, I didn't have to talk to him, but I know right now he's looking down on you.
Yeah, you can kind of feel him in the room, so to speak.
Yeah, huh? yeah, exactly. So just kind of cool, you know, just some sort of connection there. And that's why I continue to do it. You know, obviously I want to make my parents proud, and, you know, I want to, you know, try and carry the legacy that they've had, as well as my grandpa. But 100% my main reason, you know, other than making, you know, wheels that are built to last and making sure everyone's happy, it's like my reason for doing it, why I choose to work here, why I continue to go down this path and, you know, submerge myself in the industry, is just because I want to carry on, you know, Tom White's legacy, to be honest with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Attached to also your own love of the industry and wanting to be able to make that same impact, or at least a different version of an impact. I was talking about this with my dad the other day. It's not as much like the next generation coming, is it's the next chapter, and being able to write that in your own way is a pretty powerful thing. And it's interesting that you'd mention that, kind of getting your own fingerprints on it, is that I think I might be looking at the reason why W Wheels Instagram got a lot better in the last like 24 to 36 months or so. Am I hitting something there? Because yeah, mm-hmm. like, like it's always been a small operation over at W Wheels, if I'm not mistaken. The first time I went over there, I think they had two people building wheels. Your mother was pulling all the strings, and then your dad was pulling his hair out. So as it's expanded, you also need to have like as many wheels that are going out, whether it's vintage wheels, something getting refurbished, or something brand new. It's cool to get some videos and some photos taken. Like very often, it was a very similar photos taken each time. You injected like a completely different approach to it, which also takes us to the Zane Zone, which is something that you brought to fruition. Tell me about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Zane Zone, you know, something that we just kind of came up with, you know, it was kind of another way to just broadcast and highlight our product without the same, like you said, the same old like videos and edits. Cause you know, those are cool. Don't get me wrong. But you know, how social media is nowadays, people only want to stare at that for so long. You kind of got to spice it up a little bit, you know? So a lot of like other brands outside of the motorcycle industry that I follow, again, like I said, I'm a big surfer. They do a lot of like up close, like board reviews or stuff like that. I was like, this is cool. Why can't I do, like, I could totally do this with our product, and just kind of highlight, you know, a more in-depth look at why you should buy W Wheels. So then that kind of came about and we started having fun with it. And then it started, you know, it's been received pretty well in the motorcycle industry. And so then I just kind of try to just keep building off of that. And, you know, I still got a long way to go. I still have a lot of ideas that I want to do and how I can make it even more, even bigger. You know, so just keep building off of that. But yeah, Zane Zones, I like it. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of like a fun niche thing to my job that I get to do is like sit there and get filmed and talk about, you know, the wheels that me and all my coworkers put so much time into researching and building and, you know, assembling, into. So it's kind of cool.
Throughout your history working with WSA, what has been your least favorite job that your parents have made you do? Oh, and you can't just say inventory. Like I need a, like an actual task. Like one time my dad was bored or he knew I was bored. He made me paint all of our scaffold frames with a fucking brush.
Yeah. Luckily I haven't had to do that. That would definitely be pretty bad. I got to be careful how I answer this though, Brad, because just in case, you know, if my parents are listening, I don't want them to task me with this, but no, I'm just kidding. But, probably I would
when
say
you learn how to delegate.
Yeah, one of the maybe least favorite things I had to do so far throughout my time at W was I was 13 or 14 years old. And me and my best friend since kindergarten, Caleb, he's one of our main wheel builders now too. He's completely kind of gone through. He's my best friend by far. Came in one morning. It was a summer day here in Cali. So it was hot. Like I was sharing with you off air. It's hot. It was probably 95 to 100.
Too hot.
And we clocked in, you know, we used to just build wheels and just honestly just listen to podcasts or just kind of lock in and do our thing. And there wasn't really that many wheels to build. So my mother, my great, amazing mother, don't know why, honestly, but wanted me and Caleb to go and vacuum every single shelf in the warehouse. That was pretty rough. I can't lie. Like climbing up in the big rafters and stuff. And let me tell you, those shelves are dirty, dude. Like when you get high up, like they're dirty. And we had, you know, like the Home Depot vacuums. They're like a little orange tub and like a little black lid.
The shop vac.
Yeah, exactly. So we had two of those and then like a 12-foot extension cord. We had to lift it up and go vacuum the shelves. But then when we would vacuum it, it would get filled, the vacuum would. And then we had to like slowly lift it down a row of the shelf, do the next one, and then kind of go all the way down, dump it out, and then without like letting go and having everything go everywhere. And again, it was like 100 degrees and that was pretty bad. That was not fun. Me and if Caleb's listening to this, he'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Him and I joke about it to this day, but yeah, that was bad. I can't lie. That was not fun.
Who do you think was better at vacuuming, yourself or Caleb?
Oh man. I mean, I would like to say me because I always joke with him that I'm, you know, that I own him in everything we do, whether that's playing basketball or whether that's just playing video games or whatever.
Street hockey, roller hockey.
Yeah. So I'm going to say me, just because then if he's listening to this, I can just say that I own you even on a podcast. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's vacuuming. I mean, I don't know if it's a good thing to be, you know, I don't really know if I want the title.
Take some pride in your work. No, that's good. That's good.
Vacuum, but
he's clearly going to have to come on to defend himself. But, and now welcome to the show, Caleb. No.
No, I would have been like, oh no.
That's pretty cool. And like, so like lacing wheels, that's mm-hmm. not an easy task. In fact, I'd mm-hmm. say for the average, I guess what would you call it? Someone who, like, the average guy who works in their garage, like mm-hmm. A lot of guys don't have the tools nor the know-how to put a set of wheels together. What was that process like for you? How badly mm-hmm. have you screwed one up in the process of learning? And and just sort of take us through that, because that is a meticulous job in and of itself. Some people would probably rather vacuum than do it.
Honestly, fair, you know. I learned to lace a wheel when I was, I would say, like 11 or 12. Again, I don't want the listeners to be like, an 11 or 12 year old at W was sending wheels out. Not at all. We had professionals that were checking them and everything, but I would, you know, loose lace it. And then, you know, we have a great crew here. Tons of professionals that know what to do. They could build a wheel in their sleep. And so, you know, I was just repetition, dude. That's how it really with anything, right? Whether you're riding a dirt bike, whether you're working out, whether you're doing podcasts, I mean, it's all about repetition. So, you know, just building them over time, you kind of get the feel of things. We have a great crew here. So a lot of great teachers and mentors that were able to be like, okay, Zane, for this wheel, you have to do a 2-cross, or this wheel, you have to do a 3-cross. And when you do it, you should do the outers first and then do the inners, because then you're not fighting the spoke to go on top of it, and you can just slide it underneath. You know, we have some of our own little magic tricks here, you know, that I'm not maybe going to fully share on the internet, but you know, we got some W secret stuff, you know? And so a lot of great guys here at W. That's honestly kind of maybe a little side tangent. That's probably one of my favorite things about W is just the crew that we have here is like, they're awesome. You know, they come in, they work hard. And they're just passionate about W. And that's something that I really value, given the fact of like my family's involvement and just kind of the legacy of it, is just that they care as much as I do. You know, and so that's kind of cool to know, like in the back of your head, that it's like, you know, you have a good core group of people that care about what they're doing, care about their job, care about the motorcycle industry. But also, like, if there's a W sticker going out there, they want to make sure that wheel is built the best that thing could possibly be built. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So tons of professionals, you know, we tons of mad scientists, as I call them. But going back to your original question, learning to lace a wheel, it's definitely not fun at first, right? I mean, learning to do anything, it's, you know, you mess it up. I would probably say the worst thing I messed up was one time I was lacing like an adventure wheel with a Cush Drive rear hub. And those are kind of a pain. I don't know why I was, you know, tackling one of those, but those are kind of a pain.
Trying to level up, no big deal.
Yeah, like, you know, it was maybe step 4. I don't know.
Yeah, why not?
And then as I was pulling the spoke through, it like was stuck, and like, so sometimes, you know, sometimes the milling, you know, could maybe, or like the holes on the hubs can get a little mm-hmm. maybe the machine didn't fully clean it out.
Imperfections.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. And I was like trying to get it through and trying to smack it. And then I was like, that's weird. I slid it back out, looked at it. And then I was like, oh, it's because I grabbed the wrong spoke off the shelf. And so I was like, that's not good. So then it's like a thicker gauge spoke. So then I go to a thinner gauge spoke. Well, I kind of already walled out that hub a little bit, and I didn't think of anything about it. And then I was like, okay, cool. And I pushed the other spoke through there, and it just scratched the rim. And then it's just a defect. Luckily, it's not going out to the customer, but parents weren't too stoked. You know, the manager here at the time was like, dude, what are you doing? But, you know, I was just learning. So it was kind of one of those things where it's like, be careful, watch what you're doing. But at the same time, it's kind of bound to happen, right? But that was probably my biggest mess up, because it was, let me tell you, Brad, it was not a little scratch. It was pretty good.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, if it's scratched like that, you send it to Canada. We're fine. There'd be snow on it in no time anyway. So, but yeah, plus you'd be like, hey, you can't yell at me. I'll get my mom to yell at you. Hello.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I definitely get chewed out here sometimes pretty bad. pretty bad. My parents are definitely, I think it's good though. I honestly appreciate it. Just cause then it, you know, when I was younger too, when I was kind of maybe a little more arrogant, maybe not as mature as I am now. It was definitely good to really crack down and be like, look, you know, my parents, you know, from a young age of working here, it's like, you are only as valuable as the person next to you. Like, we're all a team here. No one's
right.
Just cause you have the Anderson last name doesn't mean anything. You know, like you gotta work your butt off. You gotta prove that you know your stuff, that you respect others around you, because that's how you build a team, right? That's how you get the respect of not only your coworkers, but your peers and people within the industry. So.
Certainly. And you've been doing exactly that. And then on top of that, we branch out and we have W mm-hmm. Labs, which has also mm-hmm. been making some waves. You're currently wearing a W Labs shirt. Some people would be like, man, where'd you find that shirt from like 35 years ago? It's not. It's brand new. You guys mm-hmm. have breathed some life into the White Brothers brand, as well as just showcasing what W Labs is capable. Tell me a little bit mm-hmm. more about that as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, so W Labs, it kind of came, you know, out of the blue, honestly. Like I shared with you off air, if you were to ask my parents maybe a year, year and a half ago, you think you'd be printing shirts? You think you'd be doing this, like, within the apparel side of the industry? We would have been like, we build motorcycle wheels, dude. We don't print shirts. You know what I mean? But no, it came about. And then, you know, we just kind of decided, you know, this is something that maybe let's take a look at. You know, my sister used to work at a apparel company. And so then we kind of started to think about that. And then that apparel company actually went out of business. The owner had passed away, or one of the owners had passed away. And then like his side of the family wanted to sell all of it and stuff like that. So then we had a crew there that my sister, you know, was almost like, she was coworkers with, that needed a job, one. But also too, like, they were professionals, like some of the guys here are that, or all the guys here are that build wheels, you know? So it was something that my parents talked about, and we're like, you know what? We really see an opening in this. Maybe let's just, you know, jump on it and see what we can make of it. And obviously, you know, my parents, anything they do, they're going to make sure they give it 110%. So they did that. They brought in that old crew. We brought in a bunch of equipment, presses, you know, we invested in, some high class, like, printing, you know, transfer printers and stuff like that. Design, you know, softwares and stuff like that. And then we just started, you know, we just hit the ground running, dude. We just took off with it, and we were like, if we're going to do it, let's do it the best that we can. So, you know, we started to do that, getting like local softball teams, local restaurants, diners. Some of our customers within the motorcycle industry started catching wind. Hey, I need shirts for, you know, a Glen Helen SRA or something like that. You know, I need shirts for this, or I need shirts for that, or, you know, whatever the case was. So then we started to, branch out and make some apparel for them, and everybody was like, wait, this is actually pretty good. This stuff's good. Okay, I'll buy more. Let me refer you to this person. And then it just kind of, you know, grew legs and starting to go, you know. So it's cool. It's definitely an interesting, I will say, it's an interesting thing. Like, it's funny, like, my mom and I always joke about it now. When I go to shop and get a t-shirt now, I totally walk up and I like feel the design. I'm like, ooh, that's not that good.
Come on, guys. Like, yeah, what are we doing,
like,
here?
$50 for this shirt, I'm good. Like, I'll pass. Like, honestly, it was kind of a joke. My mom and I would say, like, it almost kind of ruined a little bit, like, buying clothes nowadays. It's like, you see, it's just like, dude, I don't want to buy this when it's like, you know, that like it didn't cost them anything to what they're selling it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it just was funny. Like, now I totally go and feel transfers and feel this and feel the type of shirt and stuff like that. But it was just, you know, totally different than motorcycle wheels. That's for sure.
There you go. And judge them harshly, I might add. I love it, man. Like, I leave it to the Andersons to jump into something brand new and then, but also do it right. Getting the proper software, getting the top of the line, like, equipment needed to do it to the best of your ability, and then to execute that. One of the things that I love about W Wheels is that those who go work there are not looking for a job. They're looking for a place that they can be passionate about what they do. Mm. And I think that is really the sort of the secret sauce over at W, is that, like, everyone wants to be part of that family and they want to be able to take pride in their work. And who better to do it with than the people over at W? I think it's sort of an infectious feeling that is just sort of like, it just sort of permeates through the entire place.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like I said earlier, we have a great crew here. It makes coming to work so much more fun. We have the guys up front that I work with, like the sales guys. We have Anthony, we have Noah, we have Brandon, who up there. It's kind of the four of us. If you guys call in, chances are you're talking to one of us four. And so it's a great crew up there. Then you go move into the production room. You got Jeff. He's just, dude, Jeff's a badass, dude. I can't lie. He's kind of like the master truer, if you will. He's the
Jeff, the
one
wheel
that,
chef, I like it.
he's amazing, dude. He knows his stuff. He knows how to just crank out wheels and just build them to the best that he could possibly do it. And he's a good teacher, dude. Like he taught, like I told you, my buddy Caleb, who started with me literally at the bottom, counting stickers, stickering
Vacuuming.
catalogs, vacuuming. Exactly. And then just kind of slowly climbing the ranks. And now Caleb is up there, truing wheels as well with Jeff. And then you have Shane, who's another one of our truers. Moving to the warehouse, you got the whole W Lab crew, who, artistic, we have in-house designers and stuff like that. One thing that I will say is like the W Lab crew is completely separate than the W Wheels crew. What I mean by that is like the people that are stamping shirts and stuff are not the people that are building, Ken Roxon's wheels for A1. It's two different professionals that, we're focused on, this and they're focused on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because the shirts thing is way harder. Anyone can do a wheel. I mean, like, you need a proper profession. You can't just have some wheel lacer doing shirts. I agree. I agree. I'm glad you cleared that up. Wow.
Yeah, and then like I said, and then you have that whole crew that's, they're great. They come in and they knock out so many shirts, dude. Like I'll come in the morning and be like, making my coffee, walk through to answer some emails in the morning, and it's like the stack starts like this high of blanks, and it's like, and then goes all the way down, and then you get the next stack, and I'm like, but no, W, we have a great crew. We have our warehouse guys, we have our shipping guy Sean. He's the best. Dude, he just sits out there and ships all the wheels and makes sure that, your new W wheel set is not going to show up scratched, or at least to the best of our abilities. If sometimes
Fantastic.
FedEx or UPS, dude, sometimes I order stuff and I'm like, what is this?
Oh.
But Sean's very, he's very meticulous on how he does it. So when we get boxes back, kind of funny, Brad, like when we get boxes back, we know either A, if FedEx opened it, two, or B, I should say, if a customer opened it and then tried to say that we scratched it. It's like the way that we package it, the way that everything, it's like, dude, you're undoing a puzzle. You're not going to know how to put back together. So Sean's the best. You move into like the back warehouse. You have the Zach. He's like our vintage guy. He, talk about another mad scientist, dude. That guy is like a
He's got to be a
walking,
magician.
oh, dude,
Like,
Zach's the best, dude. He literally can. You tell him, hey, Zach, what type of wheel came on a 1918 Harley Davidson? What specs do I need? And he's like, well, you need this and you need that. And I'm just like, dude, what? Like, it's insane. And then our spoke guy, Eric, he literally just, makes all the spokes and he makes sure that they're to the exact millimeters with this much bend and this much thread pitch or thread length and all this stuff. So I'm proud of everybody here. I'm super stoked on our crew, and I'm hyped on, just coming in and working alongside guys that they know what they're doing. They know what they're talking about. And chances are if you don't know something, like, or you have a question about something, somebody in this building knows. So it's nice. We all kind of bounce stuff off of each other. I'm super, super grateful for all my coworkers for sure.
certainly, and also having a welcome environment where if you don't know the answer and you know somebody who does, you can go get that answer and know that you're not going to need judgment for it. And yeah, I'm just so encouraged with the fact that you're getting so jazzed up about wheels, and it's knocking on 5 o'clock your time, so you're about to peace out for the day. But I don't know, maybe you'll burn the midnight oil, put some more shirts out there. The first shirt that I saw from W Labs was a pizza. I think it was a pizza's place. Like, was that specifically on trade? Like, you had a certain amount of lunches. They were like, yeah, we'll like make sure that you guys are set up for like 6 months worth of lunches. You set us up with some shirts. So that was basically how that worked, or
I mean, maybe
cash deal.
I'll share fun, like, I mean, fun random fact. I'm actually lactose, so I couldn't tell you last time I had pizza, honestly, dude. So if
I
we're
mean, it
setting it up
probably
for
sticks
that,
out in your mind because you remember exactly what happened when you had pizza.
You know, the pizza stuff, it's nice because like every delivery pizza man needs a t-shirt. Otherwise, it's just some creep showing up and with a box of pizza saying, here's your food you're going to eat. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like they need some apparel.
Here's your DoorDash. Like go.
Yeah, something like that. But, no, the pizza thing was just, you know, just another customer. They called in, they wanted shirts, you know. I'm sure some of the guys here wish we could get free pizza. I'll tell you that. Like, if we're getting free pizza for shirts, you know, for some of us here that are lactose, I'm saying we go after like a Chipotle because I could use some free Chipotle or something.
Maybe
like
ribs.
That. Yeah, some ribs. Oh, now I'm talking. Maybe like some Ruth Chris or something.
Yeah,
I like that.
You have an official can keep provider the pizza of Ruth Chris t-shirts.
They can keep the pizza and we'll go after the heavy, heavy hitters, you know. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, no, it's great.
That's so dope. So you've taken in a lot of phone calls, and you, as well as I know, especially the vintage guys, they're a bunch of kooks. what has been the, like the most obscure wheel that someone has come to you with? Like they need a wheel for like an 81 Husqvarna or something like that.
So, our oldest wheel to date that we've restored, I believe is a 1914 or a 1918, 14 to 18 Harley Davidson. So that's our like, you know, oldest wheel to date, over 100 years old.
Yeah. Just call it the first World War bikes.
Yeah. Like the first, like
legitimately, that's the time period of the First World War.
So like that was obviously super cool. It was a little bit of a challenge, you know, making a modern rim fit a hub that old. You gotta, you know, kind of change the drill pattern and stuff. So the guys here had a good time with that one. I'm trying to think some of the other cool stuff that we've done. We've actually done an airplane wheel. That's a fun fact. I kind of share that with some people. So we're not aerospace engineers. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But we had a guy that came to us and was like, look, I have a little, I don't know if it was like a little Cessna or something like that.
Single engine. Yeah.
Some sort of small plane. And he's like, it's a spoked wheel. Can you guys do it? Like it's literally a spoked wheel. It has a hub. It has a rim. Can you guys do it? And we were like, sure, let's do it. So we built it up. We did it. And the guy went out and was flying with it. And from my understanding, he still has the wheel. So, so that one's pretty cool. And then I will, the last one that I'll say, I'm trying to think of like another. So I have a motorcycle. I have an airplane.
Need a tank.
Tank would be sweet. A tank would be sweet. I'm trying to think. I had one guy that called and we did, you know, like if you go to a stadium or like a concert or something, the guys that ride those like three wheel bicycle arounds and pick up like 10 people at a time and cruise them somewhere.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I had a guy that did that. That one was a little bit of a pain because that was, it was weird getting the measurements of that, you know, like a wheel that was that big, but required a spoke so small, but with enough bend. And that one was a tricky one. I'm going to say that.
Oh, you mean like the big, where the big wheels in the front?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's called a penny
exactly.
farthing.
Really?
Yeah. The bike is called a penny farthing and it's like a fixed gear bike. Like if you pedal forward or backward, that's where the way the wheel goes. Oh. It's essentially like a, like think of it as a unicycle with a balance wheel in the back.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that was what
it was super popular.
That one was cool. It was some dude down in Florida in Miami. Pretty cool. But yeah,
I feel like I might not be the only person not the only person listening to this who learned that it's called a penny farthing.
Yeah, no, I had no idea that's what it was called.
I think The Simpsons taught me that, so it's okay. So what's next? What's what is on the docket for on the horizon for WUSA aside from this fall when I make my triumphant return down about 30 pounds and going a whole lot faster at the World Vet Championships, where I think I need to fly down like a minimum 2 days early. You and I just like mob around the W show, and I need to put together a set of wheels. We can make some sick content.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you're always more than welcome here. Maybe we can get you on a Zane Zone or something like that.
Yeah.
Do some cool social media content, you know, talk about the vet race, stuff like that. That would be awesome. But yeah, future of W, you know, obviously we're going to keep growing the lab, keep kind of, you know, doing some t-shirts, kind of getting, some more businesses and stuff like that. You know, getting people shirts, apparel, koozies, banners, canopies, whatever the case is, we could do all of that. So just continuing to grow that, In regards to the wheels, most importantly, making sure that we can produce the best wheels that you could possibly get in the industry. That's definitely something that we strive to do every single day, that any product going out of here with a W sticker or a W logo on it, that it is the best thing that you could possibly get, definitely trying to just maintain that and improve upon that. There's always ways we can get better. Having fun with it, but also making sure that, we're getting the job done and we're, providing our customers and the industry with, just a product that's going to last and that's going to hold up in all the different types of conditions, whether it's 95 Southern California weather or negative 31 Canada weather.
Perfect. Yeah. We'll do some ice racing at one point. I don't know if you've noticed, but I did make one minor improvement to my W. I threw a hockey skate lace in there. You got to rep it. It's sweet, a little extra style points in there.
It looks like a little CCM like lace or something like that.
Hell yeah, it is.
Thing looks sweet, dude. I was looking at that right when I joined in. I was like, wait a sec, you might be onto something with that. I might have to go and do that on my gray W hoodie.
Heck yeah. There's a little bit of contrast for you. I like to add my own style. But Zane Anderson here on the Big MX Radio podcast. Thank you so much for making time for us, dude. Yeah. This was so much fun. Like I said, right off the rip, you're going to be a repeat offender because your mom says so. But this is a lot of fun. Even if your mom hadn't said, they're like, I need to have him on the podcast a certain amount of time, I welcome you on here anytime you like, because this was a lot of fun.
Hey, I appreciate it. I'm a big fan of the show. So, any chance I get on or get the opportunity to come on here, I definitely would love to do it. It was fun chatting with you. And I appreciate you, letting me come on and kind of get my face out there. And like I said, this is the first podcast I've ever done. So, the first podcast that, Zane Anderson has ever done is the Big MX Radio Pod. So, had a great time, dude. It was awesome chatting with you. I'm glad I kind of got to, be that next generation and continue it on. I know for a fact that my grandpa's looking down right now and is just smiling ear to ear. I'd honestly, dude, be willing to bet any single thing in my life right now that he is sitting up there and just going, this is so bitching, dude. Like, I guarantee you, Brad, that word is coming out of his mouth right now. So, I'm stoked. I'm beyond grateful to have this opportunity with you. So I really appreciate that. And just kind of to show your fans and your viewers and your listeners, a little bit more about W and, just kind of represent the company that my parents, John and Kristen, have created. And, hopefully I'm making them proud and, carrying on that legacy and, having fun while doing it. Cause that's the most important, is having fun while doing it. And, just to, make sure that I'm being a good guy, like my dad always tells me, cause at the end of the day, that's the most important. So.
Just be a good guy and do work that you can be proud of. Zane Anderson here on the Big MX Radio podcast. I appreciate the time.
Thanks, Brad.